G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Hallelujah. Well, if you've got your Bibles, have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Give me an oi of you there. So it says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? Of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And so we've been looking for the last couple of weeks, and this is the final part. I've talked to different ones and they've said, "Oh, you know, that's really good, some of the stuff that you're sharing and stuff." I could preach, I reckon, probably months on this. This is, for me, this is some of the stuff that really lights my fire, you know, is talking about moving in the Spirit, talking about the things of, I love talking about anything to do with the Lord, but particularly in this area. Everybody's kind of got a different thing that they enjoy and stuff, and this is something that I really enjoy. But notice in verse 11, and we've been looking at this, it says, "What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man?" You are a spiritual man. If you are born again, you're a spiritual man. And then it says in verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And so you are also a natural man. You are a spiritual man and you are a natural man. And being a natural man is not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing. You have a natural man. You have natural arms and fingers, natural eyes and ears. You need your natural man to be able to do the things of life on this earth. If you did not have a natural man, you could not remain on the earth. And it's with the natural man we do natural things. I can pick up these glasses with my natural man, right? I can eat a meal with my natural man. I can read a book with my natural man. And so that's not evil. It's not bad. But where it's bad is what verse 14 says. It says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Where it's bad is when with your natural man, you're trying to do spiritual things. Your natural man was not designed to do spiritual things. You have a spiritual man to do spiritual things. Your spiritual man is important to engage in the spiritual world. You have spiritual means. Just like I can use natural means to do different things. I can pick up this podium and move it using natural means. Well, there are spiritual means, and that's how you receive your healing, using your spiritual means. Or that's how you can receive financial provision. That's how you can receive wisdom in knowing what to do in a particular situation. And when you try to use your natural man to do spiritual things, that's when you're going to get yourself into trouble. So, and we've been talking about this, so I don't want to go into that much more detail. I'll just kind of cap off some things because I want to finish this off today because there's other stuff that we need to move on to. But I'm just recapping some essential things that as God's reminding me of it. You know, like, how do people try to use the natural man to do spiritual things? They think they've got to pray more to be holy or read the Bible more or come to church. That's not what makes you holy. Jesus is the one that made you holy. There's nothing you could do. to make yourself right. There's nothing you could do to make yourself holy. It's what Jesus did. That's what makes us holy. So when you receive him, you've received his holiness into your life. You are holy. You're not trying to be holy. Am I saying don't come to church? Am I saying don't read the Bible? I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I'm going to come to some bits a little bit further in this where I talk about these are some keys, particularly to moving in the Spirit. But learn, why do you do what you do? Even what I shared earlier in Vision Sunday about coming to home group, that's not to make you holy. If you never come to home group, God will love you because his love is unconditional. And if you never come to home group, I will love you. You know, when a parent sees their child do something wrong, it doesn't mean the parent has stopped loving the child. But does it mean the parent's happy? No, the parent's not happy. I may not be happy with some things that you do, especially if I know, and God shows me things. If I know that you're doing the wrong thing, I'm not going to be happy with what you're doing, but I'll still love you. And you will always be welcome here. But when you try to do with the natural man what only a spiritual man can do, that's when you get yourself into trouble, hey? And so, anyway, there's much more, and I've talked about those things. They're on the homepage of the website, talking about moving in the Spirit. And so we talked last week particularly about, in order to move in the Spirit, you must know who you are. You must know that you are a natural man and that you are a spiritual man. And just like you've got natural means, I showed you last week, well, actually Carol showed you last week, how she was able to pour one glass of water into another, which was an amazing thing because of where she's come from. But she used her natural man to do that. She used her spiritual man to gain the healing that enabled her natural man to do that. And so you need to know who you are. You are a natural man. You are a spiritual man. If you do not know that, you will forever be frustrated wondering, how do I move in the Spirit? Stop trying to be something God has already made you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are a child of God. You are loved unconditionally. And you don't need to do anything to prove to God because you are. And rest in that. Now that doesn't mean that you just go and do whatever you want. That's wrong. There's some people that go live out their life, whatever they want to do, and they say, well, you know, God is gracious. He is gracious and he will love you unconditionally. But you open yourself up to the enemy when you choose to do things that God has been speaking in your heart not to do. And so that's important. But you need to know who you are if you want to move in the Spirit. Hey, you're a child of God. You're deeply loved. You are a believer. And we also talked about the importance of praying in tongues. If you do not practice praying in tongues, either maybe you don't know how to pray in tongues, or for whatever reason you don't practice it, you are like a soldier without a weapon. And you're in a battle. If you're a believer, you're in a battle. Hey, now Christ has won the war, but there's still a mopping up to be done. And he wants us to occupy until he returns. And so praying in the Spirit, like that really, it's the doorway into the supernatural. How can you think you're going to move in the Spirit if you can't even have the faith to pray in the Spirit? Pray in the Spirit and you'll stay in the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. So now I talked a little bit about this next point last week, but I want to elaborate a bit on it and then sort of move on. I want to particularly look at some things about how, the practicals of how to move in the Spirit. But there's a few things I just kind of need to lay as a foundation. And I've been doing that for a couple of weeks and just want to finish that off today. So you need, if you want to move in the Spirit, you have to desire it. It has to be something of value to you. You've got to start seeing, it's not enough for me just to live as a natural man. Oh, how sad it is when I see Christians just living like natural people. We are spiritual beings. We ought to be, and I shared this last week, but I've got to say it again because I love saying it, but we ought to be outperforming everybody else around us. Hey? We have an unfair advantage, and it's completely fair to use it. Hey. And if you are doing about as good as everybody else at work, well, you have severely limited what God wants to do through your life. there ought to be a supernatural quality to your life, and you ought to be producing goods where people are saying, how are you doing this? And I know what I'm talking about. You know, at my chaplaincy, and I there was one stage where the PNC was committed to supporting my chaplaincy $10,000 a year. And we got a new principal who was very, very anti-Christian. And she instructed the PNC to withhold that $10,000. Now, that's not fair. Our budget was only like, I think, $40,000 a year. So that's 25% of the budget gone. Well, we deliberately, as a committee, we decided we were going to sow. How many people hold more tightly when they feel the pinch and they've got needs? That, you know, I guess you've got to sort out, what do you believe? Do you believe that God is your provider? So for us, it was just like, well, we're going to sow. We don't care. Forget this. And so we sowed financially, and we got another chaplaincy going in sowing them. By the end of that year, that school that we had sowed into and saw a chaplain established, they asked if they could join our committee. And we said, yeah, come on. And so now we're managing two chaplaincies. Then a few months later, another chaplain approached us and said, I've got a non-existent committee. I really need some help. Can I join? And so he joined. And then he was a chaplain in two other schools. So they joined as well. Anyway, cut a long story short, within a year and a half, we were managing like six chaplaincies. Our budget was $250,000. Hey, I never lost any hours in my job at the school. And in fact, the money that was coming in to support me, we started to divvy that up to help support some of the other chaplaincies. Hey, and then after 2 years, the PNC said to the principal, forget it, we are supporting our chaplain. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we ought to be outperforming the others. People ought to be looking at you saying, like, how are you doing what you're doing? This is, no one can do this. And if you're not, then you haven't really learned and tapped into moving in the Spirit. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Either say amen or say ouch. You know, as believers, we need to do more than just talk the talk. Is that right? I am just over a talk fest. In fact, I said to all the speakers at the conference, our faith conference, I said, I don't want just a message. I want the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Right? There's too many churches. Well, that's all they do is talk. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the Word. The Word is of fundamental importance. But if the Word is truth, we ought to be stepping out of the boat and expecting God to meet us to move in the supernatural. And you ought to be doing that. It's not just talking the talk like Jesus loves me and wow, yippee and stuff, but the moment something becomes inconvenient for you, you don't want to think about Jesus. You've got to live it out. And part of moving in the Spirit means that you're not just a talker, you're an actual doer. We ought to be looking for the supernatural leading of the Lord in our lives, eh? You know, Jesus didn't just talk, did he? He demonstrated. Let me read you some scriptures. You don't need to turn, but you can write these down and look them up in your own time. In John chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Then the Jews surrounded him and they said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now listen to his answer. Jesus answered them. He said, I told you and you don't believe me. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The New Living Translation says, Jesus replied, I've told you, I've already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work that I do in my Father's name. The proof of God's hand on your life is the fruit in your life. The fruit in your work. The fruit in your relationships. The fruit in your finances. The fruit in your personal health. That's the proof of God's dealing in your life. I'm not trying to condemn you if right now there are some things that you're battling through. I experience great victory in these areas, but does that mean I never have a battle? No way. Sometimes there are symptoms that'll attack my body. Sometimes there's financial symptoms. Sometimes it's just like I've got certain things that God has put on my heart that he wants me to do, and financially it's just like, what? You want me to do this? But the proof, Jesus said, when they said, tell us plainly, are you really the Messiah? He said, I've told you, you don't believe me. He said, but the proof is look at the works that I've done, the miracles. It's time as believers we just stop talking the talk and walking the walk as well. Even later, there's a number of times where Jesus talked about it. He would appeal and say, look, don't believe me if you don't want, but believe the works. At least look at the works. What's he trying to say? There's lots of people that were claiming to be Christs and Messiahs, but he was saying, look, look. And people ought to be able to look at our lives as believers and they ought to be able to say, man, there's something going on, hey. You're either the luckiest person I've ever met or something's going on. And I would say blessed, yes. Even Paul used the same pattern. I'll read out a scripture to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What was Paul trying to say? I'm not just trying to convince you through some flowery words here. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk where you can be motivated. I'm teaching you stuff, but I'm going to demonstrate how it works as well. And there needs to be demonstrations in your life and in my life. In Romans 15, Paul says in verse 18 and 19, he says, yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit in this way. I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. You know, if there's not a supernatural quality to our life, this scripture indicates we haven't fully presented the gospel. You might be telling people Jesus loves you and it's truth. You might be saying Jesus wants to heal you and that's the truth. But there needs to be stories in our life where he's done that. There needs to be stories where if you're telling people about Jesus wants to prosper you, there needs to be stories in our life. And you will not prosper unless you're a giver. But you need to see that. Don't ever do anything that I'm preaching unless you can see it in the Word. Hey, don't ever do it. Even the stuff that I'm sharing with you, don't just decide, well, that's it. This is what I'm going to do. If some of this stuff is new and it's like, whoa, well, write down those scriptures. Look at them. Talk to the Lord about it. Spend time with Him until it becomes your revelation. So it's not like, well, Pastor Les said, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. No. Spend time with God until you see, yes, the Word of God says this, and this is what's going to happen, and I expect it. So I'm not expecting you to go out tomorrow or even later this afternoon and start doing these things unless these things are already things God's been talking to you about. But if this stuff is new, spend the time. The same with prosperity. God has far more. Like what Tim was received from the Lord during the week and he was sharing. It doesn't matter. Your natural man may say, that's stupid. How is God ever going to do that in your life? Because maybe you've got a thought, maybe God's put a thought about how he wants to bless you financially. Remember, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. So of course your natural man's going to go, that's stupid, mate. But get into the Spirit, where your spirit man will say, yes, that's it. Yes. And you don't have to know logically how it's going to happen, but as these truths grow in you and you renew your mind, then you've got to act on it. Hey, and part of prosperity, if you don't, you don't have faith to prosper if you are not a giver. Don't give to prove you've got faith. Don't do that. Don't give. You are welcome. If you never ever tithe, you never ever give to this church, you are always welcome. Hey, Don't give to try to prove to God something. That's the natural man trying to be spiritual. Hey, spend time with him. When you see it in the word, then it becomes yours. Then you act on it, whether you feel like it or not, whether it's suitable and convenient or not, and that's when you can expect the word to work in your life, because your faith is there. Hallelujah. So we need to value, we need to desire and value moving in the Spirit, otherwise it's just not going to happen. Jesus and Paul both set a pattern, and they were showing that it's not just flowery words we've got. Look at the works. Look at what's happening in our life, hey? And we need to be convinced of the value of it, hey? You need to be convinced this is something that could be valuable for your work. Hands up if you reckon it could be. There's a multitude of ways where it could be valuable for your work. From like some of the things that Anthony was sharing and what I was sharing about Joel, whether it's getting along with an obnoxious person at work, or whether it's receiving the wisdom of God and the insight to be able to do something that's just like no one's thought of, and yet you're able to do the job and you're able to do it better and get everything done. But if you don't value moving in the Spirit, you're not going to move in the Spirit. You need to be convinced of the value of it in your home, in your marriage. You know, particularly early in our marriage, it didn't happen so much towards the middle and end of our marriage, but like early in our marriage, man, Joy, if we got into a disagreement, she would just go and tell on me. She understood that it was a threefold cord. And that there was me and there was her, but the top of the triangle was Jesus. And so if I wasn't listening to what she was saying and she felt it was important, she'd go tell on me. Hey. She wouldn't bother just getting into an argument with me and stuff. She would try to say things to me and say, you know, I really think this is important. We need to be doing this. And if I would say, I know you probably think this would be rare that I would get stubborn and obstinate, but sometimes it would happen, hey, on the rare occasion. And I would say, nah, not doing that. She would go and tell me, hey, and the next day God would begin to deal with me and say, you know, like you need to be thinking about what your wife's been saying to you. And I'm going, what? Come on, God. But you ever notice, you know, when you start arguing with God, he just goes silent, hey? God's not going to argue with you, hey? He'll tell you what you need. And you can say, yeah, but God, what? And he'll just say, I've told you. Hallelujah. Moving in the Spirit is so valuable in a marriage. Moving in the Spirit is so valuable in a family, hey? You can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he can give you insight and wisdom into where your kids are at. Because you're not looking for just what they're saying. You look at, I don't even know if you understand what I'm going to tell you now. I practice this all the time. I practice this when I talk to you, right? I'm not just listening to what you're saying. I'm listening to what you're not saying. Hey, because your spiritual man can pick up stuff. Hey, and as a parent, that's an invaluable source. Not just to hear what they're telling you, because often kids will be tempted to tell you what they like or what they think you would like to hear. But practice hearing what they're not saying. Oh, such a powerful, powerful means. Hey, you need to value these things. Hey, is it valuable when you talk about managing your finances? Would it be valuable to know what the Spirit of God has to say if you see an opportunity for an investment? Would it be valuable if you get a business opportunity that comes up? I remember Clark Taylor, when he used to drive past this massive block of land out in Mansfield. They were having meetings in West End, and they were running like, I think they were running like 300, and they were just really getting crowded out there. And he lived out Mansfield Way, and he would drive past this massive, massive block of land, and it was on sale. And the Spirit of God would say to him, "They'll take $3 million for that." And Clark was saying, "So what? I don't care." He'd drive home, go past that block of land. The Lord would say to him, you know, they'll take $3 million for that. He's saying, God, we don't have $3 million. He said, I don't care if they take $3 million. The next day, drive past again. Again, the Holy Spirit would say, you know, they'll take $3 million for that. Finally, it wouldn't leave him. So finally, he rang the real estate agent to inquire, how much is that block of land on sale for? They said $11 million. So Clark put the phone down and he said, well, there you go, God. And the Lord said, they'll take $3 million. It wouldn't leave him. So he rang his accountant. He said, George, he goes, how much have we got in our account? He said, Clark, please. Because Clark was like, if you know Clark Taylor, he was always stretching it as far, like lengthening your cords. Man, he would always be stretching to do more for the glory of God. His accountant just started sweating over the phone. He's saying, Clark, please, we've only got $2,000, Clark, and we've already got thousands of dollars worth of bills that we need to pay. He said, please tell me you're not going to do anything rash. And he said, oh, I won't do anything rash, George. Driving past this land, they'll take $3 million, you know. He's thinking, God, why don't you just go talk to someone else? And God just went silent. Well, anyway, it's a long story, but he ended up flying down to Sydney because it was the LJ Hooker in Sydney that managed the place. Walked into a guy whose office was probably 3 or 4 times the size of this building. One guy's office. Sat down at the man's desk and he said, I'm interested in that property you've got up in Mansfield. And the man said, well, yep, it's for sale. He said, we're asking $11 million. And Clark said, I'll give you $3 million. The man shut his book. He said, you have a good day, sir. And Clark's praying in himself, God, what do I say? And God's silently saying, why have you done this to me? This man's about to get up and Clark's saying, please, sir, I've flown all the way from Brisbane. There's not that much distance between what you're saying and what I'm saying. Sit, let's talk. Anyway, it's a long story. It's quite an exciting story. But the guy finally, he finally came to a place and he agreed for $3 million to sell it for $3 million. And he said, how much deposit are you going to put? He said, generally for something like this, minimum is 10% deposit, which is $300,000. He said, but we can take more. He said, but bare minimum would be 10%. He said, how much are you willing to put? He said, we've got 2,000. All of a sudden, Clark Taylor was no longer Reverend Taylor. He was now Mr. Taylor. He said, Mr. Taylor, I am a busy man. He said, you are playing games with me. And he said, please. He said, you need to understand our assets are tied in our people. He said, we've got 2,000 deposit. He said, but he said, if you give me 6 months, he said, we'll come up with $500,000. And he said, it's worth $3 million. He said, I'm selling it to you for $3 million. He said, 6 months, $500,000. 6 months after that, I'll give you another $500,000. He said, we'll get it all paid. This man said, all right. Clark's flying back home thinking, I have no idea how we ever going to get $500,000. You don't have to know, do you? And God was good, eh? That is the ground of City Point. Hey. And that whole church. Clark Taylor was the one who got that church built. He planted over 100 churches. I can't remember how many, 200 I think it was. But anyway, when he left, it wasn't called City Point when he was there. It was called Christian Outreach Center. And when he left Christian Outreach Center, there were 32,000 people that were meeting in a Christian Outreach Center somewhere in the world. Hey, he planted churches all over the place, hey. But see, he valued moving in the Spirit. He desired to move in the Spirit. You can't have a supernatural story unless you're willing to move in the supernatural. And to move in the supernatural, you've got to value it. You've got to desire it, hey. To receive healing, you've got to move in the supernatural. If you want to supernaturally receive healing. Hallelujah. I'll move on. There were some things I was going to share with there, but I think we'll leave that. Because I want to get on to particularly on how to move in the Spirit. What's happened to my... Oh, there we go. So, let me just share a couple other things, and then we're going to talk about some practicals of moving in the Spirit. Hey, in order for you to move in the Spirit, you need to keep your heart soft. Hey, hardness of heart is something that will deafen you to the voice of God. This is where the spiritual disciplines come in. This is where reading your Bible, coming to church, fellowshipping with the saints, this is where these things, praying in tongues, are helpful. You don't do it to get holy. You do it to keep your heart soft. You are already holy. You don't do it to get God to love you more. He can't love you anymore. But you do it to keep your heart soft. If you're honest and you think about the times where you drift away from the things of God, it's the times where you've drifted away from these spiritual disciplines. And you need to keep your heart soft if you're going to move in the Spirit, because you need to hear from the Spirit. What happens if you harden your heart? Anybody ever had a callus? Sure, if you've done any sort of physical work, you've probably had callus. Or if you've ever played guitar, you can develop calluses on the tips of your fingers. Because what's a callus? It's an area of hardened skin. So if you're playing the guitar, the tips of your fingers are constantly pressing down on those steel strings. And after a while, it's like extra layers of skin start to grow in that area. And soon you can play it for ages and you don't feel any pain or any discomfort, even though it's steel strings. If you work, you know, if you do any sort of physical work, you know, whether it's digging or something like that, you will develop calluses in areas of your hands where there's a lot of movement and friction. And what is it? A callus is an area of hardness where you become insensitive to feeling. And having a callus in some of these things is not a bad thing. It means you can do the work and you don't feel the pain of doing that. But can you see where I'm going with this? You can develop calluses in your heart where you become insensitive to the things of God. If you're going to move in the Spirit, it's not just a matter of valuing it. You need to keep your heart soft. You need to keep your heart open. And the way you do that is by indulging in these spiritual experiences. I noticed, like, there's a temptation for people to kind of like, once they get a breakthrough in God, it's like they want to have a holiday from God. I don't think it's kind of like they think it through like that, but it's just like, wow, I've got this breakthrough. Hey, man, that battle's done. I'm just taking a break. Man, don't take your foot off the pedal. Hey, keep going. Go to the next level. Go deeper. Go further in Christ. Hey, he has so much more for you and I. And these things, if we start letting our guard down in some of these areas, it'll cause us to become hardened or calloused in our heart. And so we become insensitive to the voice of God. Hey, what are some signs of a hardened heart? Unthankfulness. You can list more problems in your life than you can list victories in your life. That's a sign that your heart has been hardening. You're dominated by human reasoning. That's another sign of a hardened heart, where you just always got first-class reasons why you can't do what God has told you to do. Yeah, but you know, like, it's just, I know God said that, but how's that going to happen? If I do that, then this is going to happen and this is going to happen. That's human reasoning. Another sign of a hardened heart is you're forgetful. You have trouble recalling the God stories in your life. It's like you never get up and share a God story because you can't remember and you don't know what God's really done. It's kind of connected to all of them. But, you know, if someone were to ask you what God is talking to you about lately, could you give them an answer? For a lot of people that have no, it'd be like you slap them. It's like, what? What's God been talking to you about? Because you don't think about the things of God. So, of course, your heart becomes hardened to that. Hey, these are indicators of a hardened heart. Now, you don't need to get condemned if you can see yourself in some of those things. Make some changes. Make some adjustments. start softening your heart. Hey, and you can soften your heart as you decide, like even at church, as we get into praise and worship, make a decision. I'm going to worship God whether I feel like it. You might come to church and you find that most of the time when you come to church, you don't feel like praising God. Well, who cares? Even just thinking that your name is written in the book of life should be all the reason for you to just jump and shout and scream and say, I am so thankful. Hey, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be thankful that you're going there. But there's so many other things, hey? And so you need to have a soft heart if you're going to move in the Spirit. So, okay, so I want to talk about how do we move in the Spirit? And I want to give you some practicals on this. Let me ask you something. How do you do things in the natural? If you had to pick up a chair and move it, how would you do that? Would you sit there and go, now, okay, I'm going to get that chair and pick it up. I'm going to move it to there. Come on. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. You know, are you going to do that? Are you going to wrestle with that? You're going to go to work. Oh, when I get home, I've got to move that chair. No, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Can I do that? I can do that. No, you just use your natural man. Is that right? Just use your hands. You use your feet to get near the chair. You put your hands and your fingers around it. You pick it up and you do that. How do you move in the Spirit? You have spiritual means. Use your spiritual means to do spiritual things. Just like you, it's totally natural to be spiritual because you've got spiritual means. Now, for a lot of people, they don't understand that because they're staying in the natural. Your natural man won't understand it. You just have to accept it. I am a spiritual being. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a spiritual being. Just as if I want to move a chair, I can pick it up and move it. Well, I can move in the Spirit too. So what are your spiritual means? And we talked about this in part one and two, so I just want to remind you of them. I don't want to go into details. Your words are a way that you can access the spiritual realm and bring things into manifestation. Your faith, the promises of God. It's interesting that Micah shared that a few weeks ago, and it stuck with a few of us, hey? About it's through the promises of God we are partakers of the divine nature. Hey? We're the only ones. Hey, we're the only ones. There's no animal that can do what we can do, and that is access the spiritual realm and manifest supernatural things in our life. Hey? Your words, your faith, the promises of God, praying in the Spirit. These are all ways, these are spiritual means that you can use to manipulate the spiritual realm. Your imagination is an awesome way, hey? Your spiritual senses. You have spiritual eyes. You have spiritual ears, spiritual nose, spiritual hands. You got a spiritual tongue. You got a spiritual mind. These are spiritual means that you can use to access the spiritual realm. And so you can use a combination of different things. Hey. So for example, like as many times I'll use my words and my faith to get into the Spirit. So I'll say something like, Lord, I am one with you. I am one with you. I hear your voice. You know me. I follow you. Even as I'm doing that, I feel the presence of God. Hey, what am I doing? I'm using my words and I'm using my faith, right, to access the spiritual realm. Using your imagination is a great way, you know, of accessing and moving in the Spirit. There's times where I'll just, and you've heard me say this, you know, there's times where I'll close my eyes and I'll just ask the Lord, show me something. And I'll say, I can see this. Or I can see this. I've got my eyes closed. How can I see it? Because I'm not looking with the natural man. I'm looking with the eyes of the Spirit. And so then I begin to see things. And I'll describe what I'm seeing. That's my imagination. It's an awesome, awesome weapon, hey, that you can use. And a means to move in the Spirit. Sometimes it's, you know, you have a spiritual mind. This is probably what I'm going to share with you now. It's probably the most frequent way that God uses me. And it'll happen in different ways to different people. All right? But there's a combination. These spiritual means that I've talk to you about the Word of God, your faith, your imagination, all of those sorts of things, your spiritual senses. God will use those different means and in different combinations. Hey, the most common one for me is not so much seeing, although many times I'll say I'm seeing things, but most of the times I'm not actually seeing. There are sometimes I do see with my spiritual eyes, but when I say, most of the times when I'm saying, oh, I can see this, it's not really seeing, it's kind of like a knowing. Just like, I've talked to people, right, and they're telling me things, and I know they're lying to me. Hey, they're telling me. I remember the first time it happened. John and I were ministering to someone, and he was telling us all this stuff, and I just heard this knowing inside. It's like it was so clear. It was like I could put words to it, and it was like he's lying. And I thought, what? We hadn't seen this guy for a few years. He's telling me, you know, the great things that are happening in his life and stuff. And it's just these words. He's lying. Anyway, I just ignored it. I just wanted to hear what he's been up to and stuff. And he's telling me more stuff. And it sounded really awesome. And I said, man, that's awesome. Praise God, you know. And again, he's lying. I actually started to kind of chastise myself. I thought, man, what's wrong with me? Why am I thinking like this? I shouldn't be so judgmental. Oh, there's good things happening in this person's life. It's awesome. And I'd be thinking that. And again, he's lying. And sure enough, everything he had said to Joy and I was like, because I remember I said to Joy later, I said, I kind of feel like this person, I got this feeling like everything he's telling us is not true. And Joy was saying, oh, okay. Yeah, and she didn't say anything more, but sure enough, it was all a lie. Hey. And so these are ways. How do you move in the spirit? Sometimes it's just a knowing. It's like, I just know it. And when you start moving in these things, you know, like, when you pick up these things, it could be you get a picture. It could be that God reminds you of a scripture and stuff. Start acting on these things and start moving in that direction. That's how you fine tune it. You move out and then you see it work. You go, hey, God showed me that. God showed me that. Hey, and you can tell people about it. You go, okay, I'll know next time. And you get better at it. But there's levels of this, hey. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm not an expert at this, you know, but like the more I practice this, the better I get. And it is invaluable to, particularly for me as a pastor. Because I can talk to someone like, and listen, God doesn't show me everything about every one of you, but he shows me what I need to know. Hey. And that is such an invaluable source, because sometimes I can be talking to some people in the church and they're telling me things that are just completely untrue. Saves me a lot of work. Oftentimes, you know, like if you're choosing to do what you want to do and you are not interested in hearing what God has to say, oftentimes the Lord will just say to me, leave them. Just leave them. Just let them. Hey. And so, and I can feel that. There's some people in church I can go to and I'll talk to them and they are just drawing from me. Just drawing. But then there's others I go to and there's a shield. And it's like, so, you just got to go as the Holy Spirit. You know, people will draw stuff, hey? But there are levels, hey? And the more you value it, the more you step out by faith, the more you're going to see fruit of this, you know? Yeah, but Pastor Les, what if I miss it? What if I step out and I miss it? You will! Ask me how I know. I've missed it lots of times. You didn't get it right first time riding a bike either. You didn't get it first time in the new job that you started either. You missed it, but someone was there to help you and to show you and to assist you until you became more and more confident. You have the comforter who will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Some of you are too afraid to step out because you're your self-image is so fragile. You're dependent on the pat on the back. Instead of being more sensitive, like, God, I just want to please you, and I'm not sure. I'm just going to move with this, hey? You have to be willing. Yes, there are going to be times you'll look a bit foolish. There will be times that you won't get it right. But the more you practice it, the more confident you get, and the better you get at it, hey? And then you can, I remember the first few times that God was calling me to move in this area. I remember this one time, there was this guy, I was tutoring this year 11 boy. Actually, I'd started tutoring him since he was year 9, and he was now in year 11. No, he was year 12 by this date. So I'd known the family for a few years, and the father was complaining of a back condition, and I'd just been meditating about healing. And I just really wanted to pray for him for healing. But I was so afraid, like, what if nothing happens? And so I was just too afraid to do anything. And I really, you know, but it wouldn't leave me alone. Like, you ought to pray for him. I'm going, oh, God, all right, I'm going to do this, you know. And they were unbelieving family, atheistic family. So I spoke to the guy. His name was Les as well. Nice guy, hey. And I said, listen, you know, I've been hearing you've been complaining about your back and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I believe God can fix that, hey. And he looked at me like I'd slapped him, like, what? Because I'd never talked about the things. No, I wasn't trying to hide it, but my purpose was to tutor his son, not to preach to him. I never really had opportunity. And I said, you know, God can fix that. He loves you. He wants to fix that. And he said, oh, really? And I said, yeah. I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? And he goes, yeah, all right. I think he thought in his mind that I was just going to go home and pray. So I walked over to him and put my hand on his back. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, sorry. I said, can I put my hand on your back? I said, I just want to pray for you and just pray for healing. And he said, oh, okay. So I put my hand on his back and I prayed for him. And I said, how's that? And he goes, oh, that's pretty loud, isn't it? I said, how's that? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, move around, tell me. Anyway, he moved around a little bit and I said, is there any different? He said, no. And I said, all right. I didn't know what to do. And I said, all right. I said, well, I said, can I pray for you again? So I prayed for him again. I said, how's that? And he goes, no. So I said, all right, well, I better go and tutor your son. So I'm going up the stairs and I was livid. I was saying, see, God, that's why I don't do it. You left me out in the lurch. I said, that's why I didn't want to do it. I was telling you. Nothing was going to... See, my faith was nothing was going to happen. That's what my faith was. And I was arguing with him for ages. Nothing's going to happen, God. You want me to lay hands on? Nothing's going to happen. And finally, I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. But I was still expecting nothing to happen. And it came out of my mouth. As I'm walking up, because it was in my heart. I was talking to the Lord as I'm going up the stairs with his son. I said, see, God, told you. And it was months later. He said, yeah, you did tell me, didn't you? If you're going to move in the Spirit, you've got to value it. You've got to be prepared that you're going to miss it sometimes, hey? But, you know, there was something about it that just kept drawing me. I thought, God, you're just so much bigger than what's happening in my life. I want to see more of this work. Now it doesn't scare me at all. In fact, I look for it. The only time I won't pray for someone is if I don't get permission from the Lord. And this is important. This is, don't go laying hands on anyone and everyone. Hey, let the Lord lead you. But there is no fear in my life of failure. I got nothing to lose as far as I'm concerned. Let's say you encounter someone that's sick and God starts putting on your heart to minister to them. What do you got to lose? They'll just stay the same. But the more you practice it, the better you'll get. And so it's a lot of fun, hey? And you can see some great things happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.